The sources of popular culture, like mass media, often influence how people shape their identity. These advanced communications like TV, music, and movies allow for a greater transmission of ideas. Influencers and celebrities can dictate ideas of substance usage through their performances or social lifestyle. When we gravitate towards such cultural pieces, we may be influenced to follow suit on what others do, like using the substances. People typically learn through personal experience and behavior, and it's influenced by what they witness. So when we see substance use through different mediums, our perceptions shift, making it become acceptable to use. Hey, welcome back to episode 8 of In the Mix, a podcast provided through the alcohol and other drug services here at Grand Valley. As always, I'm Zachary Polisco, here to inform students to be safe, be responsible, and be smart when using substances. In today's episode, we'll discuss how pop culture influences the use of substances through different mediums like music, television, and social media. First, let's listen to how music can influence substance use. When listening to songs, we tend to create imagery of what the song is depicting. Often we paint images that associate or inform what's acceptable, normal, and recreational behavior. An example is country music. As a genre, it's prominent in advocating alcohol use to have a good time or subdue emotional feelings from relationships. Think of Thomas Rhett's song, Beer Can't Fix. Here's a few lines. Ain't nothing that a beer can't fix. Ain't no pain it can't wash away. The song echoes that alcohol is the solution to the listener's problems. As the song goes on, a verse indicates stress as another reason to drink after a bad workday, rather than finding a healthier, more beneficial way to cope. Another suggestion to drink from the lyrics is from being heartbroken, mentioning to turn that frown into a smile real quick. It might take one, or it might take six. Drink it down, it'll do the trick. Again, drinking emotions away isn't the best solution. Maybe if there's a heartbreak, talk to friends or family, keep busy, and give yourself some space, rather than relying on alcohol use to deal with the pain. This song is just one of many examples where alcohol is the idol within the song, as it promises to take human suffrage away in exchange to enjoy drinking. Songs can provide the reality of a celebrity who is going through substance addiction. Despite their wealth and success, they're not immune to the effects of drugs and alcohol use. Rather, they share songs of humanity and realities. An example song that captures more of the reality side is The A-Team by Ed Sheeran. It's about a woman who struggles with cocaine addiction. Ed Sheeran describes the woman as breathing in snowflakes and going mad for a couple of grams. Ed Sheeran shares the reality of addiction, where they may be itching for more as their body has a reliance on cocaine. Ed Sheeran even admitted that he was tempted by substance use because it's so common in the music industry. Even he had to take some time away from making music to cut down on his own drinking and strive for a healthier lifestyle. Now, television offers a different look on substance use. Since TV is in a form of episodes, there's a repetition of seeing certain substances which can normalize the behavior. The lighthearted depictions can skew a viewer's vision of the role substance plays in reality. This is really especially common in comedies where substance use is the main plot line while ignoring or minimizing the health effects. Let's use Peter Griffin from Family Guy as an example. An episode called Underage Peter, where Mayor West bans all alcohol from people aged 50 and under. Peter uses Brian, the talking dog, to get alcohol for him since dog years are different from human years. This episode puts emphasis on underage drinking through a comedic lens where older adults struggle to cope without alcohol, leaving them to act like they're underage again and must find alternative ways of seeking and gaining alcohol. This illustrates the dependence of alcohol, where adults must bend and break rules to gain access to the alcohol. Again, this is one example where using comedy to minimize the health effects of substances can blind a viewer's vision of the real world. As this is an animated show, it can easily be played as alcohol as hilarity, and it uses the creator's advantage of comedic episodes. Movies promote a portrayal of substance use as subtle yet effective in a viewer's engagement. Often when showing the effects of a substance being used, it gives the audience a positive connotation when changing a character's emotion or attitude. Think of Pirates of the Caribbean. It might sound crazy, but for a PG-13 movie where pirates go crazy on adventures for fantasized treasures, they fall dependent on rum. The opening scene of the second movie has Jack Sparrow and his crew out for alcohol and must go below the ship's deck to find more. Astonished, he finds the rum is either all gone or dried up. The crew members look gloomy as they don't have their drink of choice, which hints dependence. Within the same movie, the crew is attacked by the Kraken, a giant octopus creature that tears ships in half. To defeat it, the crew must put all gunpowder and rum in the middle of the ship to use and explode when the Kraken got near. But when orders are given to get the rum, the whole crew freezes, as they don't want to give up their alcohol. They insist on following orders and reluctantly follow through.
There's only half a dozen kegs of powder!
Then load the rum!
Aye, the rum too!
This shows that the subtle ways alcohol is stuck into movies. Though it provides a good laugh, it glorifies the use of rum to enhance Jack Sparrow's crew in a positive manner. An example of a movie that sheds light on the reality of addiction is 28 Days. It's about Gwen Cummings, a big city news columnist who has issues with drinking. She shows up to her sister's wedding with slurred speech and knocks over the cake. The next day, she's hungover and takes a stolen car, only to crash it into a house. She has to choose whether she spends time in prison or 28 days in rehab. At the rehab center, there's many characters introduced, each with a different addiction problem. As viewers, we get to see the struggle of the reluctant participation, giving up on the program, or some of those who power through and overcome the addiction. Sandra Bullock plays the film's protagonist that shows her battle in working hard to overcome her inhibitions and defeat her alcohol abuse problem. Now, we all have our favorite influencers and celebrities. We feel we have commonalities with them, or we respect their way of living. Some post constant pictures of using substances, whether it's alcohol, marijuana, and other drugs. They may use these substances in social environments and connect with others through usage of these different substances. This kind of content shown through pictures and videos normalizes and glamorizes behaviors of substance use. When influencers expose their audience to substance usage, it may encourage them to use the substance too. It's deemed as an okay item to use by the influencer, so it must be okay to use by the followers. Celebrities and influencers aren't the only ones that may influence substance use. Fellow peers online who post stories of them at parties could influence the viewers to use substances to have a good time. It could even influence peer pressure, where one's seeing everyone partying and must join in by using the substance too. Big blue chip companies like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram have the idea to generate clicks and to profit. When social media first evolved, it was looked at as positivity, as an open area where users could feel free to share anything. Well, that positivity is slowly turning into negativity. Companies recognize positive posts as a finite resource, where it could only go so far in generating clicks. Negative content is seen as an infinite resource because conflict will always generate non-stop discussions with no ending. So maybe you'll see advertisements encouraging substance use or advertisements promoting the negatives with substances. Either way, online platforms will often use their algorithm to send the negative content your way to get a reaction out of you. Despite this, good can come from online platforms. Forums, groups, and message boards create imagined communities. Though peers live far apart or want to remain anonymous online, such groups provide an alternative outlet for those seeking a social space to share similarities for hobbies or struggles. Support groups are offered online, where users can remain anonymous if they choose, and are aimed to manage substance use. Such groups could be used in good faith manner, or it's a positive support group for other users. Other groups may promote abstinence or moderation of substance use with each other and all users to strive and reach a goal. The alcohol and other drug services here at Grand Valley does offer some online options if needing to reach out about substance use and wanting to remain anonymous. One meeting is Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a 12-step program for individuals who are wanting to share their experience, strength, and hope with each other to solve their common issues and help recover from an alcohol problem. The only requirement is a desire to stop drinking. The other group is called Narcotics Anonymous. It's another 12-step program that welcomes any individual who is trying to overcome any substance use problem. For more information, head to gbsu.edu/AOD/recovery. That concludes episode 8 of In the Mix. Remember, different mediums do promote the encouragement of substance use to amplify entertainment value. Again, I'm Zachary Polisco. See you in the next episode.